Koshcast returns this week like Gus Hiddink at Stamford Bridge. In the Premiership, Chelsea lose their move but find their mojo. Van Gaal's thinking is so outside the box that Manchester United struggle to get in it. Riyad says, "My rest my case," as he keeps Leicester top of the league. And across the games, more penalties than the American criminal justice system. Elsewhere, Barcelona shocked the world by winning the Club World Cup and the One World Alliance, and the managerial merry-go-round grinds into life as Pep starts a protracted Auf Wiedersehen with Bayern, and cuddly Uncle Carlo confirms that he will take charge when Daddy leaves the house. As always, there are moo-moos, and this week a special guest segment from our friends at the Final Third podcast. Enjoy! Welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex. We are here in my spacious and echoey living room. And to the left of me is the one and only Roche Rana.
Hello, hello, Alex. I love to be here, as I always do.
Very nice. We are alone this week, you and I.
Yes, we are.
Flying tandem.
It could be a good thing if you look at it with a positive outlook.
Well, we've got some suspensions in the squad, some injuries.
Some injuries, some AWOLs.
Yes. So Mohamed is in Egypt, and Bernie is in Nigeria.
That is correct, and we maintain our statement that they are both on scouting reporting trips.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure there are academies and stuff that they can be looking at. Anyway, we've been scouting the Premier League, amongst other things, and why don't we start at Vicarage Road, where Watford beat Liverpool 3-0.
Yeah, we can start there. I mean, Watford have put on an absolute what? Third result.
They've given them what for?
Come on, it was a good attempt at a joke.
It was reasonable.
But what was a real joke was Liverpool's performance in this game, to be fair.
Very well rescued.
Yeah. You could be confused with Mignolet and Bogdan in goal for Liverpool because he spilled the ball into the path of Ake.
It was a weird goal. So, I mean, Liverpool's defending was shocking throughout. But this corner comes in, Bogdan catches it, drops it, and then appeared to pick it up again and then have it kicked out of his hands, possibly, before Watford put it into the back of the net. And if it was kicked out of his hands, then it should have been ruled off. But it all happened so quickly that I can't blame anyone for not quite knowing.
It just seemed so sloppy. And to start a game, 2 minutes in, this is the first thing that happens. It just sets the tone for the rest of the 88 minutes that are remaining. And we saw that from Liverpool today. I think their chins dropped and they succumbed to a very spineless 3-0 defeat, which was huge.
Was that chin drop a special comment on? So, I don't know, did you see the highlights? After they went 2-0 down, the camera panned to Klopp and he was doing the chin-up gesture?
Yes, actually, very well referenced.
Didn't work very well, did it?
No, it didn't, absolutely not.
Yeah. So for the second goal, Skirtle just skirtled himself.
It's hard to explain because the ball comes through. It's just a ball over the top, pretty harmless. One-on-one, shoulder-to-shoulder with the attacker, and Skirtle just gets he just gets manhandled completely. Well, to be fair, the finish was excellent.
The finish was excellent, but what was interesting about this for me is that they're running side by side. Ighalo's kind of winning the muscle competition.
Yeah. It's a question of want at this point.
Perhaps, but Skirtle actually gets to the ball. He gets a foot to the ball, and he knocks it slightly wider. That actually, in the end, gives Ighalo enough space to put the finish in.
You know, when you knock a ball so gently in a situation like that as a defender, you're capable of kicking the ball 70, 80 yards. That kind of small little nudge is subpar, to say the least. Skirtle should have done a lot better.
I would say so as well, especially as he's what considered Liverpool's best defender. But then it got even worse. It was a quick break. The Liverpool midfield was nowhere to be seen. Abdi puts in a brilliant cross, and Ighalo gets his second goal, which I'm delighted about because I put him in my fantasy league team this week.
The third goal was, for me, the best goal of the game because it was an absolute FIFA goal. You can see that the ball's through the middle. The break's on, there's a man on the flank, and the attacker, I think he sprays the ball out wide,
mm-hmm.
and he does really well to get the cross in quickly.
Yeah. He noticed the space.
Yeah.
And kept him onside, and it was a lovely header, and Bogdan was deliciously all over the place.
Completely open header, but, you know, for a home team, Watford breaking on the break three times today, just goes to show that it's very hard to defend again with all that speed in the Premier League this season.
It's true. Watford are now seventh. I think they might have been seventh already. They're pushing for a top four spot. They're not actually... I mean, Tottenham are on 29 points. Watford are on 28.
We might have another Leicester versus Watford...
Top of the table clash.
Top of the table.
I mean, frankly, it is astounding. I mean, especially because Watford, over the summer, they brought in like 13 players, everyone said, including me, too much instability, that it will be hard for the team to gel. But Kike Sanchez Flores is just killing it.
Absolutely. It's hard to really say where they did it right. But they've grinded out a few results over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, they look a little bit like Dortmund, if you ask me.
Because their
jerseys, yeah. Their jerseys look exactly like
that. Well, that and the pace and the physicality and what have you.
They're playing like them right now.
They are. It's true. Sometimes more than Dortmund are, who lost to Cologne this weekend.
We'll get to that.
We will, maybe. Maybe. We'll see how the time goes. Let's turn our attentions now to Stamford Bridge. Chelsea lost their manager this week.
Yeah.
Either they fired him or it was mutual consent. Either way, Jose Mourinho walks away with a lot of money and a lot less dignity, perhaps.
Rumours are that he turned it down.
I'm not sure I believe it. Because the rumour was he turned it down and said, use that money to rebuild the club. But you can't rebuild Chelsea with 40 million.
That's a good point, actually.
Although you could...
It's hard to say what is truth and what is rumour at this point.
Exactly.
The fact is that Jose's gone, though.
He's gone. He's gone. Some people are celebrating. Some people, like a lot of Chelsea fans, are devastated despite his... terrible job this season. But for more analysis, let's get our guest segment from our friends at the Final Third podcast, based in Dublin. If you follow us on Twitter, you will have noticed our kind of podmance with these lads. And let's turn to them for some more analysis on Chelsea, their game this weekend, and Mourinho's next steps.
Hello, welcome to a special takeover of Under the Cosh podcast by the Final Third podcast. We've been called in to talk about our reaction to Mourinho's departure. I'm Rob Canavan. I'm joined by Rob Palmer and Conor Kelly. Lads?
Hello.
Okay. So to get your respective reactions to Mourinho going, I'll start with you, Palmer. It's kind of a shock, but it's kind of not, if you know what I mean. So what's your reaction then?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it was time for a change. Like, I mean, you look at, like, they're, what, 1 point off relegation or something when they sacked him. Like, that's ridiculous considering the squad they have. And, like, a change needed to be made, but... something that I've noticed in the media since he's gone has been the sort of the bandwagon of hate that he's been getting, saying like, oh, it's all his fault. It's nothing to do with the players. It's all him. It's all him. Like, I'm one who doesn't exactly... I'm not very glowing when it comes to talking about Mourinho.
And, not on your Christmas card list.
No, not my Christmas card list. He's not my Christmas card list. I wouldn't even send him a birthday card. Ooh. But, yeah, it's like, I think that just saying it's all his fault is really unfair. I mean... like, you look at the quality of players there, as I said, you've got, like, Fabregas, Costa, all of these players, Hazard even, just didn't perform. And look, whatever happened this season, I don't know. But they've clearly just downed tools, whatever's gone wrong. Whether it's because they hate Mourinho or whatever, like, they're, at the end of the day, they're still professionals. And they should be going to the pitch. And, like, they should be doing their bloody job, you know what I mean? Mm. And they just simply haven't done that this season. And I just think the abuse from Mourinho is totally unwarranted when it's laid at his door 100% of the time.
Okay, that's interesting. Just to back up your point about bad form, I think it was 5 wins in 17 or something incredible like that. Connor, I know you hold Mourinho more to account than Palmer, so what have your reactions been? Do you think that he's gone full Diego Torres to use his book?
I think Jose Mourinho is probably one of the happier, probably the happiest person in this situation because he's wanted to be sacked for weeks. Like, the way he's behaved in his post-match dealings with the media, the way he's basically threatened and basically goaded the club into wanting to sack him. Like, I mean, after the Southampton game, he went on that diatribe where he went on about how he was the best manager in the club's history, which he is, statistically speaking and results speaking. But he spent that 17-minute tirade trying to get himself sacked, basically, because nobody mentioned Mourinho being sacked before that game. And he then, you know, threw his players under the bus after the Leicester game on Monday, and it seemed pretty apparent then that Mourinho wanted out of his Chelsea contract. And I think it's the right time for both parties to move on because Mourinho is clearly not wanted. Has clearly not wanted to be there for a long time. The players have clearly not wanted to play for him either. And I, I think largely it's down to the atmosphere that Mourinho has created. But I do agree that a lot of the players need to stand up and take responsibility for their performances as well. I mean, like Eden Hazard, player of the year last season, hasn't scored a single goal this year. He's got, I think, one assist in all competitions. And for a player who at one point was feted by Mourinho as, you know, the third best player in the world and on the same level as Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, that's just not good enough. So realistically speaking, I think it's a good time for both Mourinho and for Chelsea to move on from this whole situation, because quite frankly it's been embarrassing to say the least this season.
Yeah, very, very damaging. Where I'm gonna throw out my idea first, okay? But where do you think we'll see Mourinho, and do you think he'll wait out till the end of the season? Because I know, Connor, you were an advocate for a sabbatical, as they call them, since Pep went to New York. But I'm going to say I think he's going to end up at Jorge Mendes invested Valencia. Because I don't think the Primera Liga is attractive enough for him, for a manager his standing. So where do you guys see him going, or do you think that Valencia might be the shout?
No, I think Valencia is a savage shout. Like, I mean, Jorge Mendes basically owns Valencia, like, considering the amount of players that are there. And like, it's a club that he's going to probably ruin in terms of the wages they're going to pay the players. But no, Mourinho to there is a solid shout. But the only thing I'd have about him going to Valencia is the fact that, like, Valencia are at the moment a struggling club. Like, I mean, they're still top half of La Liga, and they're still doing fairly well. But I don't think the Gary Neville thing is going to work out at all.
No,
I don't know. Like, they're not going to finish within a European place, in my opinion, and that's a nightmare for a club like Valencia, considering they're trying to pay off their stadium, trying to make themselves a big club once again. But I think if Mourinho goes to Valencia, I think it'll be the same problem at Chelsea. He's been a manager who's had so much success everywhere he's been that he doesn't know, in my opinion, how to handle when things aren't going his way, like at Chelsea. Like, we've seen he couldn't turn it around there. So I think if he goes to Valencia, he'd have pretty much the same job that he had on this season, but at a different club. And I don't think he'd be able to turn it around.
That's an excellent point, particularly about recovering from bad situations. Connor, do you want to briefly add your bit there in terms of, do you think he'll stay out of management, as it were, till the end of the season, or could he be managing maybe Manchester United by the 28th of December, as some have said?
Well, Mourinho's advisors, who published a lovely little statement at the weekend, say that Jose he's not tired and he wants to get straight back into management. So there can only be one solution to this whole situation, I think, and that's Louis van Gaal packing his bags, leaving the theatre of dreams and opening up a position on the bench for the greatest manager in the world to take over the greatest club in the world. Personally speaking, I think that the United link would make a lot of sense, because you've got a manager whose reputation is a former great manager, still a great manager, who only knew success for the majority of his footballing life, and in recent years has been damaged and has had that aura pierced, and a football club in the exact same vein. So maybe the damaged goods of Jose Mourinho can go to the damaged football club of Manchester United, and it can be a match made in heaven. But I think a break is probably in order for Mourinho, but I think at the end of the day, if Manchester United came calling, Mr. Mourinho would be packing his bags and moving up to Juan Mata's house pretty quickly.
Actually, that would be interesting. Okay, so that's a wrap for our reaction to Jose Mourinho. It seems a little bit sneaky, but we should plug our Christmas pod, which is coming out next week, where we basically do our team of the calendar year. So if you're listening to this and you like a little bit of the final third, you could check it out. It's coming out next Tuesday, I think, Monday night. But anyway, and then submit your own team of the calendar year if you like, team of the calendar year 2015. The only rules being no Messi, no Ronaldo, no Neymar, no Suarez. Have we got that right, lad?
Yeah.
Okay.
And no more than three players from the same team. But yeah, give it a listen, see what you think, and thanks for listening to our own little Koshcast takeover. Lads, you just want to say goodbye before we go?
Bye, lads.
Bye.
Thank you to the lads at the final third for that top-notch analysis. To be honest, I've got not much more to add about the Mourinho situation, but I wanted to ask you, how do you think Hiddink will do?
Well, yes, first of all, top-notch bants from these guys. Great shout-out. Hiddink, it's his second stint at Chelsea, and he did well in his first stint, so I can see that Abramovich has taken a leaf out of that book. His own book, basically, yeah. He's using historical data. It's hard to say how he's going to do, because the season's absolutely nuts. Leicester's on top.
Bournemouth is winning three games in a row.
Mm.
And Watford is saying, say what, you know?
Yeah, well, very good. Chelsea have beaten Sunderland this weekend, managerless. Hiddink was in the stands or he was watching somewhere. It was a relatively easy win. Ivanovic scored for the first time in a long time. Pedro, Oscar, who is a player I fully expect actually to flourish once Mourinho has gone, because I think he was very held back. But the funniest thing about this game for me was that Barini scored for Sunderland, ex-Chelsea, and he went absolutely mental, as if he'd like finally proved a point or something. But he hasn't, because he's still rubbish.
It was garbage. I mean, there was 3-0. The game was over. Sunderland did not even come to defend. Okay.
Yeah.
And Barini scored this consolation goal, and he's gone absolutely mental. It just goes to show that he's just a one-man show, really.
mentally, he's not quite there. Finally, on this game, interesting that the Chelsea fans are giving a lot of stick to some of the Chelsea players for what they perceive to be their role in Mourinho sacking. Cesc and Diego Costa were roundly booed, and I wonder how long that will go on, and whether if Chelsea start playing better under Hiddink, whether that will all be kind of swept under the rug as results improve.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say with Chelsea because recently they had Rafa Benitez come in for half a season, and even though he won a couple of trophies,
he was so ungrateful.
Yeah, they did just wanted him out from the second he stepped in. He was always going to leave.
Came in, got a cheeky UEFA Cup or Europa League even.
Yeah, Europa League. You know, they won a couple of trophies. Yeah, but these Chelsea fans, you know, they've got their own agenda, and so if Hiddink doesn't win a trophy, he's out.
Well, I think he's out anyway, no?
You think so?
This is an interim appointment. He's old.
It's hard to say because Hiddink has done a good job at Chelsea in the past. So if he does do well, he may stay.
You never know. You never know. He's just old, so I expect he'll want to, you know, get home, have a cup of tea.
Yeah, sure. He's got to go eventually.
Put his feet up. Anyway, let's move on. Tottenham played Southampton, away at Southampton this weekend, looking to bounce back from defeat to Newcastle last week. And
shocking defeat.
It was a shocking defeat. But they pretty much battered Southampton this game. Southampton started off better, and it looked like they might take the lead. Mane had a good chance. Lloris made a save. It was a bit scrappy, but Kane and Dele Alli with the goals, and Tottenham kind of ran away with it in the end.
I'd have to say Southampton, you know, on their home patch, they're very formidable. But once Harry Kane broke through their entire line of defense, this game was, there was no doubt. And Virgil van Dijk, like, he's gonna look back at that defending, and I don't know how he's gonna feel about that.
I think he's still swinging from that big swing of the boot that he took at the ball as Kane ran past him with ease.
Great goal by Harry Kane, though. You gotta say.
It was wonderful, but it was like you say, he charged through them like a horse through the ranks. I don't know. It was just way too easy for him. He did well, but what Southampton defense were doing, I don't know.
No, it's hard to say. Yeah.
But
another counter-attacking goal in this weekend's
play. Yeah, absolutely. And Lamella also had a hand in that and played quite well. And for the second goal, I found this quite funny because it was one of those ones where, so Kyle Walker has the ball on the right, he's looking for the best crossing option, Lamella's showing for it really hard, really wants it, is very disappointed when it doesn't come to him and then has to, you know, eat humble pie when Dele Alli knocks it in at the back post.
Yeah. At least they want to score goals. I mean, we talked about Tottenham not scoring, drawing too many games. Now they're actually starting to win games and make 1 point into 3 points. And so they're on a bit of a run, with the exception of that Newcastle stupid result last weekend, really.
Yeah, so they've now lost two games all season, and they have had a lot of draws, you're right. Some wins as well. It looks overall positive. They're in the top four at the moment, 29 points.
And I have to say about Tottenham, we've talked so much about a lot of other teams, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, what they're going to do, but Tottenham for sure are going to be in the top four.
You think so?
I think so. I believe so. And it's hard to say what Leicester City are planning on doing for the rest of the season. But you have to say that if there ever was a team that's going to be in the top four, that is a sure certainty at this point, it would have to be Tottenham.
I'm intrigued by you saying that. Okay, I think they could make it, but if I'm looking at the table and you've got Leicester first, so you've got Arsenal, Manchester City in second and third, Tottenham are fourth. So are you ruling out Manchester United?
I am at this point. I think based on form, head to head, Manu might be, you know, fifth place, Europa League position.
Okay.
Tottenham, you know, I think they're putting in a good shout for Champions League position, qualifying at least.
Leicester City are definitely going to drop out.
You think they're dropping out the top four?
I have to say yes, yes.
That's interesting. They're five points clear at the top of the table in December.
To be honest, like, we keep saying they're going to win the league, but they're not.
I haven't said that.
We've said it in Bants.
Sure.
We've said Leicester City, Bants-wise, are going to win the league. But,
but they might win the Banter League.
If they do...
Jamie Vardy certainly will.
If they do, like, I'm going to go streaking. I really just think that Tottenham are going to make the top four this season.
Okay, so you're expecting... I mean, this is really early days, but you're expecting Arsenal, City, Tottenham, and one other to make the top four?
Yes.
Crystal Palace?
You know, at this rate, it could be Watford.
It actually could be. All right. Southampton, terrible again. We discussed it last week. They're not showing many signs of improvement. I think they really need to do something in January to bolster that squad. But let's move on to your beloved Manchester United, shall
sure.
we?
Yeah.
And my third team, Norwich.
Yes, this game was a bit of a disappointment. And
there's an understatement.
If you look at the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Understatements have been made, underperformances have been made, and it looks like Louis van Gaal is being questioned a lot right now.
He's questioning himself, to be fair. Yeah. He came out the other day with a very odd statement about not wanting to end his career being sacked.
Yeah, it's hard to say because I know that he's made a statement about how this was his final assignment, he's going to go out on top, he always
does. Final assignment.
Assignment. At this point, he's going to be shining shoes.
Ooh. That would be a good job for
him. For the remainder.
That would be a good job for him. So, yeah. United, they, again, like Southampton, started off looking quite promising. But then...
I have to say, I watched this game. I rewatched this game even after I knew the result. And the things I was looking for was there clear-cut chances? Was there any creativity? Was there just anything going on?
From a United perspective?
Yes, from a United perspective. And they look busy, as they always do on the ball. But they got hit on the break pretty sloppily. If you look at the first goal that they conceded, it was kind of like a little toe poke here and there that just kind of opened up the entire defense. So all of a sudden they're down 2-0 in this game. And at home, you have to say that this really is a moment. And Norwich ended up winning this game. Quite comfortably in the end.
I want to bring up a point that you just mentioned a few minutes ago, which is that a lot of goals this season are being scored on counterattacks. And they probably always have, but it's very noticeable this season. Now, Manchester United, statistically, take longer to get the ball to the opposition's penalty area and score a goal than any other team. They play more passes in the build-up than any other team. And so, is it that there are counterattacking opportunities that they are not taking simply because of the philosophy that requires them to pass the ball around?
Yeah, that's a very good point you bring up, Alex. I think that the way that they're playing right now does not give them the opportunity to counterattack. If you're always going to keep the ball in the midfield, in the opposition third, if the opposition's happy to sit back, the only counterattacking that's going to happen is the opposition coming at you. So with that perspective, United, and you've seen it, they don't have a lot of counterattacking goals this season.
No. Well, they also lack pace, but let's... one team that didn't lack pace on the weekend was Norwich, so let's give them their credit.
Cameron
Jerome, get him on the plane. This is a stunning performance from a player who, as... you know, I found him a bit of a joke in the past because he does a hell of a lot of work, but he doesn't score goals. But he's nabbed one here. He ran half the length of the pitch.
He did, yeah. It was a great goal. I think Phil Jones could have been better in his defending, which might be a bit of an understatement.
Yes, again.
Another understatement, yeah. He got his goal. De Gea got a hand to it. It wasn't enough. And it's 1-0. Well done, Cameron Jerome.
That bit actually cracks me up, though, because he did all the hard work, right? He got there, took it past two defenders, makes it into the box, and then hits it straight at De Gea. And we got very lucky, really, that De Gea didn't save it. But then the second goal was kind of similar. It was a break.
Yeah, you have to say, both the finishing was actually horrendous from Norwich. Because
I couldn't tell whether the second one was on purpose or not. Tetti threw on goal?
Yeah, it was a complete mishit.
You might be right, I'm not
in
sure.
In my opinion, I looked at that goal from several angles. I looked at De Gea and how he reacted. De Gea was rooted to the spot. And I truly believe that's because he was equally shocked as to how that ball ended up in the net with such a miss kick.
Fair enough.
Basically, from my perspective, in my opinion, I think that Troy Deeney was aiming to kick it like Ronaldo R9 did 10 years past. Watford's Troy Deeney was attempting to make an R9.
We're talking about Norwich.
Yes. And you can see that he's attempted to make an R9 and he's ended up being a Troy Deeney.
Okay.
if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Now I kind of see what you mean, but not really.
Because he had all the time in the world to kill it. And you knew what he knew what he was aiming, for.
All right, we'll leave that one there. Cameron Jerome, to go back to him for a second, he didn't celebrate his goal, which I found funny because he's Cameron Jerome. He's just scored a brilliant goal against Manchester United, and he's decided not to celebrate it.
Yeah, it's probably
inexplicable.
Yeah, you know. To be honest, if I scored a goal against a big club and did not celebrate, it's because I was trying to be different or something.
Right.
The hipster style of celebrations.
Yeah, yeah. Just trying to be an individual. Yeah.
Yeah.
With your teammates. Yeah. The game of the weekend, in my opinion, and we actually picked it out beforehand, Everton against Leicester. I thought Everton were doing better than they are. They're actually solidly mid-table, but they're playing some good football. Leicester, we all know about. And this was an amazing game.
It was a great game to watch for the neutrals. Everton playing at home. Sloppy, by the way.
Yeah.
Because Leicester City... I mean, you know this team is on fire right now. Came out, scored 3 goals. They were up 3-1 in this game. Riyad Mahrez, beautiful, beautiful player. Player of the season so far.
He's both beautiful and a beautiful player. As you mentioned, he looks like Aladdin.
Riyad Mahrez is so good that the fire brigade has just been called.
He's killing it. I mean, there's nothing more. We're kind of running out of superlatives for both him and Vardy.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched a compilation of this guy last night, and there's no secrets anymore. He's not going to stay at Leicester City past this season.
Yeah, so he's committed. Well, we'll see. He's committed to them for January at least, yep, till the end of the season. I mean, it depends. If Leicester finish in the top four, why leave?
Do you really think they're going to finish in the top four?
I think they're 5 points clear, and they've been through the run of fixtures that everyone said would... look, anything can happen. This league has been mental, but no other team is playing anywhere near as well as Leicester.
Okay, so I mean, yeah, you have a point. I've also made some very strong statements about how this table is going to finish in the last 5-10 minutes. But,
this is true.
But I find it extremely hard to believe that Leicester City, 1 year, were in the relegation battle, dead last in the table... And then in the second year, are on top of the table, and we're talking about them finishing at least in the top four.
It's a Christmas miracle.
There's some sort of miracle going on here, and that miracle has to be attributed to Claudio Ranieri.
He's on Claudio 9. As are all Leicester fans.
Oh, that was good, that was good.
A 3-2 win keeps him top of the table. I always enjoy when Vardy passes to Okazaki and he scores, because, you know, Vardy had the whole thing with Japanese people, the whole incident. And
it's funny because he's been labeled a racist, but he's, you know, his two best friends are Riyad Mahrez and Shinji Okazaki.
Two best friends, at least footballing wise. Yeah. Morales pulling one back for Everton in the end, but it wasn't enough.
A good assist by Ross Barkley to Morales for that goal.
Very good assist.
Very good assist.
It was a volley back heel into the path of Morales, and a really good finish too.
England fans should not get too excited by that, because it's just a one off. He's not doing it for England. Don't even think about it.
Definitely not this summer, right?
Nope.
All right, let's move on. Newcastle against Aston Villa, the battle of two teams that have struggled big time this season, but Newcastle have pulled off a couple of results recently, and this one ended 1-1.
Yeah, typical Newcastle style, really. Out of nowhere, you expect them to be garbage, and all of a sudden they go on this run where they're beating teams like Tottenham. This should really have been a win for Newcastle.
Mm.
And... I think this is a game of two different styles of goals. The first goal, a corner kick came in, Coloccini scrappily gets it in over the line.
That was such a shit goal.
It was the worst goal of the weekend.
It was.
Like,
if anyone shouldn't have celebrated, it should have been him.
He should not have celebrated. But this goal was so bad that I almost wanted to just escape what I was seeing. The goal of this game that I really want to talk about is Jordan Ayew's goal.
I didn't know he was capable of this, I'll be honest.
No,
he's been rubbish all season.
No, it was absolutely shocking, because his back was to the goal and he just sort of swiveled around and curled it all the way around.
What a hit. Pace, power, precision. It was bloody wonderful.
It's too bad he's ugly.
After Mahrez, it's all downhill. it was a bloody good goal, and I've also noted here that this game was played in biblical rain.
There was certainly...
It was monsoon season in
Tyneside?
On the Geordie Shore.
Yeah. The Geordie Shores.
Not much more to say about that one, really. Oh, no. Although, I was disappointed with McLaren, because in the Tottenham game, they won 2-1 after bringing on Ayoze and Mitrovic. And he went back, at the start of this game, he went back to Cisse up front. And it was just a bit disappointing. Mitrovic came on for Cisse eventually, but it was a bit disappointing in that he found something that worked and then he switched away from it.
It's possible. He's probably just trying to keep everyone happy. Maybe he's looking at the fixtures list and thinking, if ever there was a game that I could, you know, throw away and give someone some time, it was against Aston Villa.
Perhaps.
But in, you know, in the recent weeks, I just want to add this in, that we've said that Steve McLaren has become Steve Renault. Now I think he's somewhere in the middle. I think he's a Steve Toyota.
Toyota's better than Renault?
You don't think so?
I don't know. I've never driven either.
Yeah, neither have I.
Okay. Well, the Japanese are better than the French at making cars. So right. we'll go with that.
On that
note. We'll go with it. Swansea 0, West Ham 0, that was today. I've got absolutely nothing to say about that. I haven't seen it. Clearly it wasn't a very good game.
No, it just sounds like a game that I would not watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally what it was.
apologies to all the Swansea and West Ham fans out there.
Yeah.
Is there anything we could say about Swansea?
I still don't think sacking Gary Monk was the right decision. I'm very interested to see who they bring in next. There's talk of Marcelo Bielsa, which would be really fun.
Wow.
I mean, slightly suicidal, but really fun.
I wouldn't put it past them, to be honest.
He'd keep them up,
yeah,
for sure.
Perhaps Moyes in.
He's already turned it down, because he's too good for that. I don't know why. Giggs has also turned it down. Again, not quite sure why. He looks bored as all hell on the bench next to Van Gaal.
Interesting, we put that there.
Yeah, and yeah. I guess about West Ham, we can say that since, and Manan was saying this last week, since they lost Payet, their form has really gone downhill.
Oh, no surprise. He was carrying them completely on one man's shoulders. Yeah.
Good thing he didn't injure his shoulders. Stoke against Crystal Palace. The battle of the English managers. Mark Hughes, Alan Pardew, good old Royal Rumble. And I enjoyed the fact that Palace won this late on because I bloody hate Mark Hughes.
You know,
I nearly used a different word there.
That is a statement that I can fully agree with, but not necessarily because of Mark Hughes. I think that I really enjoyed the fact that Crystal Palace won this because it goes down to Charlie Adams defending at the end.
And everyone hates Charlie Adams.
Everybody, even Charlie Adams. Charlie Adams hates Charlie Adams.
Well, because he has to look at him in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing you don't want to look at.
It really isn't. Connor Wickham with a penalty for the first goal, which was his first goal in 14 games.
Yeah.
He's a striker. I mean, that, you know, that's where he plays. But
so it's clearly evident that Jamie Vardy has taken his striking abilities away from him.
It's like something in Heroes. Like Jamie Vardy's taken all the bits of strikers from elsewhere.
Perhaps Riyad Mahrez rubbed on the magic lamp and took away his abilities and gave it to Vardy.
I'm not sure Wickham. I'm really not sure Wickham had the abilities in the first place. He's just a massive bloke. But anyway, he's getting some games. Bojan equalised another penalty. This is what I was saying in the intro. So many penalties this week. And then in the final minutes, an absolute bloody stonker from Chang Yong Lee. Goal of the weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's actually, it's up there. It's definitely up there, but this ball could have ended up anywhere. And somehow it ended up in the back of the net.
You just think it was like a 1 in 50 chance?
It was probably a 1 in 500 chance.
I feel bad taking credit away from him. It probably was just, you know, hit it and hope, but it was amazing.
Yeah, especially with Charlie Adam bearing down on you. He could have broken his leg easily.
He flew into the top corner with the greatest of ease. And Pardew, last week after Crystal Palace won, he was at the pub having pints with the fans. So I hope he was doing that again, like the geezer that he is.
Probably crowd surfed his way to the pub this time.
I don't think he probably has to pay for pints at this point.
No, he shouldn't.
In South London.
He should pay for their pints.
Yeah, if anything.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Although there was a rumour that while he was at Newcastle, he was only being paid like 30 grand a year or something.
That cannot be true.
I don't know, man. Mike Ashley's...
At Newcastle?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just a rumour, but it was like he got an 8-year contract, but it was only 30 grand a year and then performance bonuses. God knows. That's about like poverty line.
Shocking. Levels. Shocking information.
Yeah. Well, perhaps not in Newcastle. In London, it would be poverty wages. Anyway, West Brom... Tony Pulis, the man in the hat, the man who's been having fun with Jurgen Klopp all week, lost to Bournemouth 2-1. Bournemouth on an absolute roll, three games in a row.
I don't know how they're doing it. They're on an absolute rampage. They just got the scalp of Man United last week.
Yep.
And now they've taken West Bromwich Albion away from home.
And Chelsea before that.
And Chelsea, and they also drew 3-3 with Everton not too long ago.
True. This is a new. They've been reborn mouth again.
They're drinking the same water as Leicester City and Watford. For sure.
Perhaps, yes.
And Crystal Palace, to be fair.
Yeah. All of them. But the best thing about this game, for me, is that in the week, James McLean, West Brom winger, called Jurgen Klopp an idiot for his comments about their style of play last week. And this week, he got sent off for just basically grievous bodily harm. Violence. He was just a violent nutcase, and he got sent off in the first half.
Yeah, he kicked his leg. He completely kicked his leg out from underneath him.
Yeah, this is another perfect example of chat shit get banged.
Yeah, typical English style of defending, if you ask me.
Defending is generous. Anyway, in this one, another penalty, again, adding to the penalty tally. Gosling was fouled. The sea seemed to open up for him, went through, and then Daniels with the penalty. And then, in the end, Rondon got sent off as well, just getting in on the act.
The camera wasn't even on the player. And all of a sudden, there's some sort of brawl going on, and then he starts laughing when he gets a red card.
I was laughing too, to be fair.
It's got
to
be the epitome of idiocy.
I don't know. Anyway.
That's a word.
Yeah. It'll do. Finally, on the Premier League, Arsenal play Manchester City tomorrow. It's a shame that hasn't happened, and we can't talk about it, really, but we can preview it very quickly. Just give me a prediction.
I'm going to go with an Arsenal victory.
Me too. Score?
3-1.
I'm going 2-1. For a moment's mental light relief, if that prediction wasn't comic enough, let's go to Moomoo's.
Moomoo's! Off the week!
Off the week!
This week's magisterial Moomoo number one goes to the Cameroon football authorities.
Who've never done anything stupid before.
No, I think this is their first time on this. So basically, they just parted ways with their old manager, Volker Fink, and they wanted to replace him. However, they have advertised for his position online.
Amazing.
They tweeted a link to the Cameroonian football website, and they're accepting listings until Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Who's following them? Which other prospective managers are following them on Twitter?
Anybody, really. Here they have advertised any candidates should be of Cameroonian or foreign nationality.
What are the alternatives? What they're doing there is ruling out aliens.
Yeah, so sorry aliens, you won't be considered for this job. Yeah.
Any other things that they want from their manager, or is that it?
That's pretty much it, unless you just have to be physically fit, have a strong personality, and have a lot of contacts in the footballing world.
For what? To make signings? Do they know how this works? They're amazing.
I want to know who's posting this. I just want to see a video of him putting the link up on their website.
That would be wonderful. Our next Moomoo comes from Italy, and the grand and glorious Rossoneri, the club of dreams, AC Milan, or dead dreams at this point.
Yeah.
52-year-old kit man Mustafa Medun was arrested this week for stealing kits. He's a kit man. He's around kits all the time. Does he need to take them home? Anyway.
How can the kit man be stealing kits?
I'll explain. He's been an employee of the club for 12 years. He was caught on CCTV stealing shorts, and socks after the cameras were secretly installed in the dressing room after several players had complained about losing their belongings. Italian police raided his home where they discovered hundreds of stolen items of AC Milan equipment. The best part of the story is that Mustafa Medun is the brother-in-law of Milan general manager Adriano Galliani's third wife.
Wait. His third wife?
Yes.
he's been the brother-in-law of his third wife.
Yeah, he's been through a few.
Wow.
So, closely connected with the club.
I guess after all those divorce settlements, he has no money, the club has no money, neither does the kit man, so he's auctioning off all the players' items.
It's just fantastic. With Moomoo's out of the way, we can now turn our attention to the Club World Cup, or the club...
The Cup.
Cup of World Clubs.
The Cup World. The Cup Club World.
Anyway, the competition that takes place between the winners of the various regional Champions Leagues.
A mere formality for the final trophy of this last season.
Pretty much. Barcelona have now won it more times than anyone else with 3 victories. Corinthians have 2. And they won it again this year, beating River Plate, the Argentinian giant, 3-0. It was routine, to say the least.
Yeah, were you shocked?
No.
Yeah, neither was I.
I would have liked Tipe Mazembe to be in the final.
Yeah, it would have been probably like 10-0.
It would have been, yeah, it would have been slaughtered.
I'm surprised that Barcelona actually played Messi, Neymar, and Suarez in this one. Well, I don't think they even needed to be honest.
Well, probably not, but it's a... You know what, this is one of those things that the rest of the world really takes seriously, and European clubs and fans don't. But the reason they don't take it seriously is because it's always relatively easy. Although, saying that, Chelsea lost in the final a few years ago.
That was to Atletico Madrid.
No. That was a Super Cup. It was Corinthians, I believe, 1-0. But Barcelona took it seriously. They played their full team. Everyone was out there. Busquets, yeah. Rakitic, Messi, all the little players.
I guess it was a training match in the end, you know? Keeping fit for the... Coming back to the La Liga and defeating Eibar.
Yes, relatively. There was a huge gap between the sides. Obviously, Suarez, a couple of goals. He won the Golden Ball. And see, this award is not just called the Golden Ball. It's called the Golden Ball and Alibaba E Auto Award. I have no idea what that's about. I assume maybe the Alibaba website is sponsoring this tournament to some extent.
Okay, first of all, no questions about Luis Suarez being a lethal striker. He's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
But Neymar, and this just goes to show his progression since he's moved over from Sao Paulo. He made a majestic run
through Santos.
But yeah, he made a magisterial run through the entire midfield and defense. Of Corinthians.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, were they playing Corinthians? River Plate.
No, River Plate. You're getting all the Brazilians and stuff mixed up, aren't you?
That's two yellow cards for me in one minute.
Yeah. You're off. Yeah. You're a James McLean of the podcast. but you could tell, when I say that the rest of the world takes it seriously and Europeans don't, Neymar was absolutely loving it. He was really into it. When they brought the trophy up for the little presentation and celebration, Iniesta was holding up the trophy, as the captain always does, and Neymar was just flagrantly dancing in front of him, stealing the limelight. It was kind of nice to see.
I mean, it's practically just a casual beach soccer festival for him, this game. Let's be real.
Yes. And speaking of casual beach soccer festivals, can we move on to Ligue 1? Because this is about as casual as things get. If you were to guess how many points PSG were in the lead of this league, what would you say?
How many games have been played?
19.
Let's just say they're 20 points ahead then.
How did you get that right? They are 20 points ahead after 19 games. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
I mean, when your front three are Di Maria, Ibrahimovic and Cavani in Ligue 1, you're probably going to win the league.
Yeah, and then Lucas Moura and the lamentable Lavezzi to come in as well. But you enjoyed Zlatan this weekend, didn't you?
My God. And every week when you think, you know, is he really 33 or 34 years old now? But he scores a goal, like,
yeah,
that was an absolute cruise missile.
He might drink pints of unicorn blood or something, I don't know.
He must, because he also had a bicycle kick in this game that was cleared off the line. And just for a big man of his size to just be able to just get in a bicycle kick position so casually,
yeah,
so fluidly,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I reckon the United Nations should probably hire Zlatan to fire balls at ISIS.
Probably, he's very accurate.
Yeah, and the power would be anything, you know, equivalent to what the United Nations could. You know, they send angry letters, but Zlatan could really thump some people.
Oh, he can hit someone in row Z, but like totally take his head off.
Yeah, absolutely. Savior of the world, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Quickly, the Bundesliga, Bayern atop by 8 points. And we're going to talk about this very quickly because Pep has announced that he's leaving Bayern Munich at the end of the season.
Surprise, surprise. We always knew he was going to leave, but it's at the end of the season now.
Yeah.
Anyone want to write some letters in and share your tears with everyone? You know, that's fine too. But...
Well, the players might, because they don't want him to go.
Really?
They'll be having a cry. Although...
I did remember Thomas Müller saying, you know what, Hanks left and we won the treble, so now we're just going to win the treble again.
True. He's a cocky git, Müller.
He is, that lanky little poodle.
Lanky poodle, okay. I would love to see a lanky poodle.
You have. It's Thomas Müller, and before him it was Petr Cech.
Okay. If there was one way to... If there was one manager that you could describe as a bit of sugar to help the medicine go down, it would be Carlo Ancelotti. If the players are sad that Pep is leaving, you send them a cuddly Carlo and they'll be happy. And Carlo Ancelotti has agreed to take over at Bayern Munich at the end of the season when Guardiola leaves. And I think that is a fantastic appointment.
Great appointment. If there was anything so fitting in world football today, that makes sense. Because nothing makes sense right now.
That's true.
If there's anything that makes sense, Carlo Ancelotti, Bayern Munich, it just fits.
It's perfect. And it's there aren't many ways that you can follow up Pep Guardiola. At Barcelona, it was Tata Martino. It was Villanova, which made sense.
Martino.
And then Martino. And you know, Martino failed in his 1 year. But it's a hard transition to go from someone who brings that much out of players. But Ancelotti is someone who can go in, he can work with the hierarchy of the club, he'll be a subtle and calm influence, and they should just carry on being absolutely dominant under him.
Yeah, and he's won the European Cup at, I think, two or three different clubs now, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Bayern lifting the trophy. If not this season, maybe in the next two seasons, definitely, for sure. They're up there.
Yeah.
They're due a trophy.
They are. Well, Champions League trophy. Yeah.
They had one in 2013, but I still think they're due another one.
Yeah, well, right. And Pep leaving makes it all the more important that he does it, that he achieves it this year. Because when he was brought in, they just won the treble. There's little else for them to achieve. He's won the Bundesliga easily already a number of times. And that's really all that's left.
Very important for Pep as well, because this is going to determine how the rest of his managerial career is going to end up as well.
Well, on that,
you're only as good as your last job.
True, and his have both gone spectacularly well so far. But where do you see him ending up?
Oh, it's hard to say. He could end up absolutely anywhere. You know, if Leicester City win the league,
Sean put the chance to work with Jamie Vardy. Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he took another sabbatical, to be honest.
I think he'll end up at TP Mazembe.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.